We need to explain China's white-hot stock market today and during the last few weeks.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with a global perspective on business and the economy. It has been the sharpest rise for Chinese stocks in 5 years. Looking at the key index in Shanghai, the CSI 300, it closed up 4.1% today, the 12th rise in a row, the longest winning streak ever. It also closed above 3,000 for the first time in 3 years. Many individual investors in China have been pouring in, and some worry about a mania. In Shanghai, Andrew Batson is China Research Director for Gavical Dragonomics. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, we have a lot of, it looks like individual investors quite excited about the stock market in China. What do you think is driving this?
Well, I think a lot of people are hungry for a stock market rally in China because we haven't had one in a number of years. And I think there's probably two main events that really kickstarted this. So the first one is this program called the Shanghai-Hong Kong Connect, which allows more investors in Hong Kong to invest in stocks listed in Shanghai. And then the other big event, of course, was the cut in interest rates by China's central bank.
Stock investors like to think toward the future, not the economy as it is, which in China at the moment is not all that terrific, but the economy as they think it will be. But you start worrying about some kind of mania or frenzy when you look at the rise in some of the key stock indexes in China just in the last few weeks.
Yeah, the rise has been really spectacular, for lack of a better word. And I think a lot of people, including ourselves, have some questions about how much this rise is really reflecting improvement in the fundamentals. There's a lot of new speculative instruments that are available to Chinese investors now, like index futures that weren't available previously. And all this seems to have made the rally more volatile and bigger than it would have been otherwise.
And it's my understanding that you do have a lot of individual investors in there, not just the big dogs, the big institutional investors.
Yeah, this has been one of the characteristics of the Chinese stock market for a long time, is that there's not a as well-developed financial institutions, pension funds, savings plans, these kind of organizations. So a lot of the action really is driven by smaller investors.
Andrew Batson, China Research Director of Gavical Dragonomics. We're speaking to him from Beijing. Mr. Batson, thank you.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
We're watching reports today that the pharmaceutical giant Merck of New Jersey may spend $7 billion to buy an antibiotic company from Massachusetts. Cubist Pharmaceuticals, the target, and published reports today suggest the offer will be in the $100 per share range. Those shares went for about $74 and change at the close on Friday. Cubist does medicine to treat drug-resistant bacteria, and all of this is part of this era of pharmaceutical mergers that 2014 seems to have become. Now let's do the numbers. The Financial Times 100 index in London, that key stock index, is down 0.75%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down. The 10-year Treasury yield is up at 2.22%. This week on Marketplace, we're looking at signs of renewal in a place where war and its associated brutality claimed the lives of millions. One of my Marketplace colleagues is just back from Eastern Congo, and his first piece airs tomorrow morning. Today, a conversation with a man who spent a lot of time in that part of Africa and has been working to help. Ben Affleck, the actor, movie director, and screenwriter, is a founder of an NGO called the Eastern Congo Initiative. I started by asking him about the practical business side of the work there.
We wanted to do something sustainable that would raise incomes and that would be there long after we were gone. And so what we chose was coffee and cocoa, both of which the Congolese, you know, were huge businesses and huge agricultural sources of revenue before the war. You know, we went to these collectives and said, we know that this is what you're trying to do. What you need to be able to do is make slightly better products so they can be traded on the open market. We brought in partners like Joe Winnie, for example, who said, Theo Chocolate is his company, who said, I will buy this if it meets these standards, and I will help build capacity with this project. This is trade. It isn't aid. It's helping them get into a marketplace where they can be successful.
How do you avoid being the guy from California who thinks he's got the prescription for fixing problems, you know, half a world away?
Well, that's the very sort of root and nature of our of our organization, which is that we don't go in and dictate terms. We don't go in and say, this is how you do it. One of the flaws that we identified when I first started traveling and doing research was that you have large NGOs who sort of plant themselves in the region and say, this is how you're going to do it. And I'm keenly aware of the fact that I am a guy from California, that despite the fact that I've been to the region 9 times and done a lot of research and know a lot of people down there, that doesn't make me an expert. What makes me smart is that I listen to experts, and most of all, I listen to the Congolese.
One of my reporters, his name is Sabri Benishore, was just in eastern Congo.
He was.
And he found people working very hard to improve their situations. But you know what comes up time and time again? He told me, corruption, money doesn't get to its intended destination. How much do you worry that your money and the money of your donors ends up in the wrong pockets?
We put people through a very, very rigorous process for precisely this reason. And we think there's a higher bar because I'm a sort of target. You know, people like to pillory celebrities, particularly around this. It's true that there is corruption in, for example, in the military, which is a real problem. I mean, a lot of soldiers aren't getting paid. And so what they do and what the tradition has been since Mobutu is to sort of live off the population, which is why there's been a lot of looting and why the reform of the security sector is so important. And what we do with that, because we're an advocacy and grant-making organization, is that we try to lever the U.S. foreign policy side into putting pressure on Kabila and others to reform the military, because that's not something you can do with community-based organizations. That's really a systemic issue.
Ben Affleck is a founder of the Eastern Congo Initiative, an advocacy and grant-making group. Yes, the same Ben Affleck who works in the movies. Mr. Affleck, thank you.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
The director's cut of that interview is at marketplace.org. And for something more portable, perhaps there's a Marketplace app free in the Apple and Google stores. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.